Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar, home of the brave for vets. Today is June 23rd, 2008, and now's the time for Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a positive psychologist takes a look at all three with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian. Thanks for having me. Hi. As Lillian said, I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, and welcome back to my show, Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a positive psychologist looks at all three. And today, I thought it would be a lot of fun to discuss some of the very, very important themes that go with growing up, but rather than strictly from the point of view of psychology, also intertwine our discussion with the value of a beautiful novel. And we all remember growing up how important it was when we found a favorite novel, how mesmerizing and how much it could do to lift our spirits and also bring and extend our worlds into other arenas. So today, I have invited onto my show Phoebe Stone, who is an author and also an artist. And in particular, although she's written many books and I guess even illustrated more, I want to talk around some of the themes that go with her latest book, Deep Down Popular. So welcome on my show, Phoebe.
Thank you, Barbara. It's great to be here.
And I'm delighted to have you on this show.
Oh, great.
Yeah, when I found this novel, I felt and said to myself, wow, I just have to meet this gal because we seem to be overlapping from the psychological as well as the artistic point of view some themes that really, really are important for girls.
Yeah, I think so. It's true. And I like the way you said a good book offers you a whole world, an enriching world, and I think that's really important to me, too.
It is important, yeah. And as I think I mentioned to you in one of my conversations with you after I found you, and thank goodness
yeah.
for the web, it just
yeah, I know.
Makes, you
I know,
it's amazing.
It is.
Your book, Deep Down Popular, reminded me in many of the beautiful images and the ways you expressed how Jessie, the gal, lives and runs through the fields and all sorts of parts of her daily life, how it struck me as having an organic kind of passionate level that I never forgot from the Little House on the Prairie series.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I love that series as a little girl. Well, I like the sense of nature. I love the outdoors myself. And I love to infuse my books with that a sense of place. And sometimes, often, it's the outdoors.
Well, it certainly comes through. It's there. And, you know, if your book affects girls the way the Laura Ingalls series affected me, you will be going down in history whether the girl ever reaches you or not. And the way I know how profoundly affected I was by Laura Ingalls' books is that I went back and reread one of them to write a review on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I found myself in tears.
Really?
I actually had a shocking emotional reaction, much stronger than I kind of permit myself as an adult.
Well, I think if a book brings you to tears, that's a good book. I mean, that's one of my one of my goals is to make you laugh and cry. You know, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I really would like to do that.
Tell us a little bit what happens to Jessie right on the first page. I really want to say it for you, but I shouldn't.
Okay. Jessie Lou is, she's never been a very popular girl. She's an outdoors girl. She's kind of a tomboy. She's kind of a little bit of an outsider because, and she has always been in love with this boy in school named Conrad Parker Smith, who's been terribly popular since second grade, the way sometimes some kids are. They're just popular, and he just was. And she knew that he would probably never notice her. And then one day, then he begins to get a problem with one of his legs. He's been a big soccer player and all that. And then he begins to develop a limp. And slowly he sort of falls out of grace with the popular crowd. And then she is kind of miraculously thrown in with him, as she's supposed to help him after school with some books. And so here you have the most popular boy in the world, who isn't quite as popular anymore, and now a little girl who's been totally unpopular and a chance to get to know him a little bit.
Well,
and that's kind of the beginning premise,
yes, yeah. That is the setup for tremendous adventures. Let me read from page one.
Okay.
I loved Conrad Parker Smith in the second grade. I loved him to the point where I used to hide in the bushes near the swing set on the playground at school. And when he'd go running by, I'd jump out and pull him down and give him a great big kiss on his cheek. You know, this is a very, very vivid.
Well, she's kind of she has such strong feelings.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And she's willing to, she loves her granddaddy terribly much, too. And anyone in her circle, she has a lot of love, and she doesn't mind talking about it and, you know,
well, yes, but I'm looking at it from the psychological point of view. I wanted to just read that because it was a little more passionate than the way you described her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, well, I was trying to just give you the story.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
And I think it's very important because that's where we really live. You know, we live in an organic space in our heads between our minds, our thoughts, and our emotions.
True.
That isn't really cleaned up yet. And kids have trouble sort of knowing always what to do with that stuff, particularly
right.
Crushes. But I have to just jump in and share a little bit the first page of the book I wrote, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, where this book is fiction, but its intent is to bring up the topics that girls need to process.
Right.
And right on my first page, my heart felt like it turned over in my body. My pulse started to race. By the way, she's 10 and a half. I wanted him to sit near me so badly I could have died, but he sat in the row in front of me a little to the right. And so you get that same passionate sense.
Right.
And
I kind of, you know, I remember falling in love as a child, even as young as five, and then later in sixth grade, it's very strong, you know. It's very strong, and it's not realistic. I mean, it's not there isn't a relationship, so it's sort of a really unfettered feeling. It isn't backing off because of a fear of intimacy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very real and strong and completely open within yourself.
What was your experience at five?
As I told you before, it's I loved a little boy named Chester, and he was chasing me around the neighborhood, and then I told my older sister that I liked him. And then the next thing you know, he was chasing her around, and then I was sitting on the steps. But that says, something also about my relationship with my older sister.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she necessarily played fair.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I think I kind of touched on that a little bit in Deep Down Popular also, a little bit of, issues with siblings. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think that your description... Jesse has this absolutely gorgeous sister, apparently, and I love the way she couldn't even come to the dinner table because she's so busy fussing with her nails.
Yeah,
and, what is a little dinner when you're trying to get your nail polish
right,
on straight?
Right. Well, her focus was totally different than Jessie Lou's. Jessie Lou's kind of a poet and, you know, a little rough around the edges, where her sister was just so glamorous. And I think that sort of overwhelmed her. And then her mother was a little bit identified more with the older sister. So Jessie Lou was kind of swimming in a world a little lost in that world a little bit until she sort of finds her way out of that, all of that, as the book goes on.
And she has a lot of resiliency, which I think is a very important thing for the young reader to
have
the pleasure of reading in a novel.
Yes.
You know, she does have to lean, in my opinion, more on her grandfather than her grandmother, I mean, than her mother attachment and feeling always special.
Right.
And
well,
does.
All you really need in this world is one person that thinks you're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person that thinks you're the most incredibly brilliant, charming, I mean, you just need one person. If it's a grandfather or if it's a teacher or a mother or just somebody, you know, someone, and you can do the most incredible things.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need a little somebody saying you're wonderful, you know, just somebody, I think.
I think, well, the research proves that you're right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of the concepts that you have built into this book are the psychological concepts that are true.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I think writers are kind of, we're certainly, you know, some way aligned with a psychologist for sure. I mean, we think about what makes people do things and what makes things happen and why. And, you know, so we are kind of psychologists in a way.
Yeah. And a lot of things that Jessie thinks about are very psychological, and she picks up a lot of cues. I'm just thinking about how she notices of the T-shirts that Conrad's mother, I guess, makes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, uh-huh.
And how he doesn't care what it says.
He doesn't care what color it is, remember?
Oh, what color it is.
Yeah, he can
right.
wear pink and carry
mm-hmm.
it off. And
right,
she
right.
says that's deep down popular, you know, to be able to carry off a pink shirt. A boy wearing a pink shirt is just, and not be fazed by it is truly deep down popular.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is. Now, let me mention something that struck me as just so wonderful. Jessie's, I guess, playing the trumpet.
Yeah.
And Mama has a strange look when she goes to practice and says, would you mind practicing on the porch tonight?
Right.
Now, this just filled me with laughter and reflections because I played the violin, and my mother would really, really be just very, very uptight and sort of ask me if I really needed to practice
really?
That night.
Yeah.
You know,
the violin is so screechy.
It
know?
Is. And she was just so relieved if I had practiced before she got home or I just skipped it.
Well, but Jessie, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but my father, who was perhaps more like the grandfather, you know, adoring whatever I did, would actually encourage me to bring the violin out when they would have a dinner party.
Oh, how wonderful.
Well, wonderful, yes. But
your mom.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
An awkward moment.
Yeah, I played the violin, too, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
Especially when you're first starting out, it's really an abrasive sound, but if you can get past that, you know, then it becomes this gorgeous, unbelievable thing. But you have to work at it, you know.
You sure
like
do. You sure do.
Yeah. But in her case, she was playing the trumpet, which, you know, she's the only girl in trumpet section. And I think her mother was nervous about her. She really could only see Melinda, the older sister's, as the way to be a girl. And Jessie Lou was kind of cutting new ground. You know, writing poetry and playing the trumpet, and the mother just couldn't, you know, she just couldn't quite understand that.
So, how did Jessie come alive to you? You know.
Yeah. People ask me that, and all I can say is, I just start writing it. It just pops out
mm-hmm.
of me. But mm-hmm. I had visited my grandmother's family in the South, and I came back, and I was just so enchanted by their speech patterns, which were slightly different. They put together metaphors and used things differently than we actually, they speak a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so swept away by their family and the way they talked, and this person just popped out of me. Her voice she just carried away. I couldn't write it down fast enough, and I had to stay home for 2 months because I just couldn't wait to get everything down, and it takes a long time. I don't write on the computer. I write by hand and then later translate it onto the computer. So my hand just wouldn't go fast enough to get it all down.
Now, did you find that any of the metaphors and the images that came to you were almost like startling, like how did I think of that? Or are they all actually part of your own language? Because I was impressed by so many of the allusions that were developed in the book.
Well, like, I need an example.
Yeah,
you mean some of the funny little incidents and things?
No, it's the language use.
I think some of that
metaphors.
Just sort of rolled out of me. I can't say, I know some of the things I was, some of the language just kind of happens. But some of the little stories, I'll use stories from my own life or... I just go back into the warehouse of my memory and just pull out stories and
one.
I love doing that.
Yeah. And then they get reinvented in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
I look over at Conrad and then I look at her and a cold wind blows through my heart. Now.
Oh, she's looking at Moon and Stars Montgomery there. Yeah.
Is that something that you might actually say or?
No, that's something Jessie Lou says.
Okay.
Jessie Lou.
So,
I don't know how she came about. She just appeared, and she had her own way of saying things.
Okay.
And I just,
so it's almost like, my book, The Truth, is my first fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done this several times.
Right.
But I found that just that the character does start to have an energy and an insistence to get her story out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really magic when it happens.
I'm wondering, whether I often fantasize that somehow our unconsciouses merge into some greater
absolutely. I so
place.
Agree. Right. So true.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's your greater part of you writing it. And a part of you which knows more than you know, and which is making wonderful connections that you might not consciously be able to make. I mean, after all, when we're dreaming at night, we're busy. We're writing all night. We're making
a
story.
Well, that's true. And I'll never forget when I was about 12, I dreamed of a symphony, and it was fully playing. And I remember thinking to myself, I am listening to every single separate instrument.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I've never heard this music before. I know I'm dreaming.
How wonderful.
My mind was fully capable of it. I can write the poetry to be set to music, but I couldn't write you 10 bars if I had to.
Well, you would have had to have been trained and... to do that. And,
but I'm saying my unconscious.
But your unconscious, well, yeah. I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, it's wonderful what we're capable
mm-hmm.
of. We are, human beings, we're all terribly capable of doing much more than we probably do. But that's the neat, magical thing about writing, is you kind of tap into some of the wonderful source there that, and if you have kept your lines open, and I think being children are very super creative and artistic, and I think that some of us close down those creative lines as we get older, but if you can keep them open, I think a lot of writers are kind of still children in that way. They're still
mm-hmm.
in touch with that. And it's when we, remember how we used to make up stories and imagine things when we played as children, very complicated things.
Oh, sure.
So that's the same thing. I mean, it's just, it's kind of wonderful if you can keep that alive, you know. So
and
you're right. And, wow, would you have written that down if you could have, your symphony?
If I knew how to write music well enough, perhaps.
But you were studying violin at the time.
Yeah, but yeah. I didn't know how to put different, instruments together and the different layered lines and so on, like a composer.
You probably are a composer that didn't, writing and composing is similar
yeah,
anyway.
Doing it
it's very similar, yeah. It's all connected.
Let me go back to your book, Deep Down Popular, because I want to mention a few things that are all very valuable psychologically.
Yeah.
I hope mothers listening will really encourage their girls to read your book because not only – we discussed a little bit the crush, and I think it's wonderful that you put the crush as a main event because girls need to feel comfortable with these primitive – large feelings that we all have at some point.
It's true.
So I'm glad you made it a really big, major element.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think that this is really a book that is an innocent book with tremendous depth, and that's
Thank
a great
you.
Combination.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, and that's an important thing because I have skimmed many, many books for tweens and teens,
mm-hmm.
the girls,
mm-hmm.
and they may be an easy read,
right?
But they're not innocent nor depthful.
full of depth.
And some of the books that are really with depth, say Anna of Green Gables, something like that.
That's a great book. Yeah,
may not appeal to an 11 or 12-year-old girl in our culture.
It depends
on how she's oriented and who exposes her to books and so on. I think that your book has a good chance of the child feeling comfortable but getting oriented to it.
Thank you. Yeah, I love those books, those old-fashioned
mm-hmm.
books. And I
mm-hmm.
love... I know people have mentioned that this book has a sense of nostalgia about it, even though it's a modern book. It does take place now. But I guess I'm trying always to capture that delightful something that I experienced as a child. And perhaps there is a bit of nostalgia in there, too, because of that. I don't know. I adored being a child, even though I had a hard childhood, even though things did not always go well. I mean, lots of things happened that I wish hadn't happened, but I still cherish my childhood, my memories. It was such a wonderful and mysterious and intense time. And I think forever I am going to be trying to catch it again, get back to it in some way. And I'm always trying to hand it to someone else, too. I want to give that feeling to
mm-hmm.
someone else because it's just deliciously powerful, you know, and nothing ever in my mind will match being a child again. It was just such a great, mysterious, and intense time. And I think I just long to catch that again in my life. So I think that's probably why there's that sense of nostalgia that maybe you can align it with those other books that are kind of
mm-hmm.
nostalgic
mm-hmm.
in a way, too. I don't know if that,
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And
when did childhood end for you?
Oh, you mean, in other words...
Like, when did you have to say to yourself, I think I'm no longer a child?
Oh, well, you can't put it that way. I'll have to say I never let it end. I had to never end it. But the truth is, I had a blissful childhood up until about age 11. And then, I mean, my father was a professor. We lived on a campus, and there were lots of children, and everybody was wonderful to the children. And then we went to England, and my father committed suicide, and everything went the exact opposite way, where we were moving around every year. I went to maybe 17 different schools after that, and where the complete opposite happened to me. And yet, you know, it was still an interesting voyage, and I still cherish it. And I, you know, as a writer, it's just so super lucky that I had all those different schools and lives and different places that I know, even living in England, because I can write about all those different places now. It's mm-hmm. like they're home to me. And I know them as, you know, a year and a life of a child is huge. So I know some of these places like they were my hometown over and over again, lots of different ones all over the place. So I think, again, just, you know, good coming out of bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And forever wow. amazing me the way that works. But
No, no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was thinking with Jessie.
Yeah.
When we finish the book, she is how old at the end of the book?
Well, I think she's was the end of sixth grade, and then
right.
going into seventh. I'd say getting towards 12, or
yeah.
already 12. You know.
Is there going to be a sequel?
Kids ask me that. I'm thinking about it. I'm working on another book. In fact, I'm really happy because I finished the last chapter today.
Oh wow! Well,
I'm really excited, and I
day.
Like it. What do you say?
What a great day to talk
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. Oh, the last chapter to ends are really important to me, and this ending I like a lot. And so I'm happy that I got that done. And I like the ending in Deep Down Popular with the tulips, all the 5,000 mm-hmm. tulips blooming. I like that image.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Endings are, for me, the whole book is kind of building toward the end. I think some writers work differently. Some will have, you know, the middle more important, or
mm-hmm.
you know. But to me, it's all working toward an ending, a crescendo kind of thing.
And so you may or may not go on with
Well,
her.
I could, and I know I'm seriously thinking about it because I do like those characters a lot, and there's certainly more to tell.
And what was the book, what is the book like that you're working on, or do things remain a secret?
Oh, I think I probably shouldn't even... I'm not sure whether I ought to really go into that.
That's
but
fine.
I'm thrilled that I got the last chapter done, and
mm-hmm.
I don't always write that doesn't mean I'm done with the book, because there's at least 5 or 6 chapters before that aren't finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to write the ending early because, first of all, I don't want to always be anxious to get to the ending. You know, I really can't wait to write the ending. I want to write it when I want to write it. If I want to write it early, that's good. And then I have that to work toward. I know where I'm going then.
Right,
totally.
Right. Yeah.
And I love that. That's a nice, secure feeling, finally, to know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. It sure is.
So.
Well, I definitely plan for the girl in my book to keep growing older. And
yes.
I found that the second book really came even easier to write than the first, although there's a big chunk in the middle half to the almost like the middle third,
mm-hmm.
the two-thirds in that I haven't finished yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess that happens too, and you have to go back and...
Oh, yeah, I mean, kinda, it's a process. You're,
exactly.
You're weaving a rug, but you're not doing it. Necessarily in order. It's a weaving of, you know, you're pulling this in and that in it. You're,
mm-hmm.
you're making a beautiful object, but you're not making it necessarily linearly. You know,
that's
so,
right.
You know, you may go back and rework, and then you have to edit and change and rearrange. And I used to hate editing, and now I like it. I finally, you know, once the book is basically written, I really don't mind or even enjoy reworking it and, you know, building it up in a certain place and adding this and taking away that. And it's like making a sculpture, I guess.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like there's a certain wisdom in knowing all the refinement that has to take place, and it's not as much of a nuisance as when you're a younger writer. You
true,
know,
true, yeah. It's kind of nice to finally you know, get the craft out of the way so that it's not, you know, an issue anymore, and then you just kind of sail along. It's kind of great. It was like with any, what's the same with painting, too. When you finally have worked, well, I've worked working all my life on painting, and I can basically hope to be able to do what I want now with it, you know, without struggling with the craft. Which
right.
is, I can't say enough for people working hard on something and getting good at it. It's just such a joy, and I, you know, one of the things I love to do is try to inspire or hope to inspire kids to really work at what they are good at, because it's just such a win-win joyous situation when you finally get there, and it's so worth it, you know.
Well, I think that your level of inspiration really comes through, and just to, because we have to stop for this show, I want to just say that I think your book is really a winning book for so many reasons. I'm just looking at my notes, and I'm saying the artistic sense that you bring to your book is really to make little things so wonderful again as they were for us so long ago, and it looks like that's exactly what you expressed. I think it's such a quality read for older teenage girls, too, not to get material that's just so jumbled up, you know, with clothing and competitive jealousies and some of the themes that I see running through the books as sort of the major themes, while I think they should be much more minor themes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see what you're saying.
And while you have kept in the predominant front, you know, the major themes are really valuable themes, and a lot of them are very subtle, like your use of language and like the sense that you so loved your childhood that you're going to draw someone in to want to enjoy what they're living through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's worked, that's just woven through.
Mm-hmm.
But
Thank
it's
you.
There. Many, hundreds and hundreds of books don't have that energy because the person isn't working from that point of view at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I my tremendous love of my childhood, I guess, is a driving force for me. One of the really very important. Yeah.
So I'm very happy you came on my show, Phoebe.
Thank you.
We'll stay in touch. Maybe you'll come back and we'll
Absolutely.
Talk further.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to remind the audience that I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, positive psychologist. You can find out about the work I do at www.enchantedself.com. And I hope that you've been inspired to read The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything with your little girl or when she's finished the book, and use it as discussion along many of the themes that kids have to use to go through developmentally. And I'm so pleased that my guest Phoebe Stone was on this show with her new book, Deep Down Popular. And Phoebe, I want you to tell people how to reach you and anything else you want to add that pertains to your book.
Oh, yes. I have a website, and it's called it's at www.phoebestone.com, and that's P-H-O-E-B-E-O-E-B-E, not E-O, P-H-O-E-B-E-Stone.com. And I can be, my email is on there, but it's phoebe@shoreham.net if anybody wants to write me. And you can also reach me through the website. It says write to Phoebe in there somewhere. So
great.
So
thank you
very
much.
Oh, it's been so
much
fun talking with you, Barbara.
Oh, good.
Really
Wonderful.
Fun.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. And if you want to hear Dr. Barbara hosting and Phoebe all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. And on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word archives. Click on that. A list of names will appear. Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein's among them. Or if you can go over to the silver page, and you'll see Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein there. If you want a hard copy of today's program, please contact Lillian Caldwell at 734-332-5902 or lillian.caldwell@gmail.com. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. Before you go away, the Marquis of Halifax had this to say in the late 17th century, popularity is a crime from the moment it is sought. It is only a virtue where men have it, whether they will or no. Thank you all very much for listening. Our next scheduled program begins at 8 o'clock tonight with Marketing for Fun and Profit with Janet Elaine Smith, sponsored by Star Publish. Check them out, http://starpublishllc.com, followed by 8:30 to 9 with the Tony Quest and the Screaming Woman, followed by Tom Zart and the Lillian Cole Poetry Show. Programming runs until 11 o'clock tonight. Then on July 7th, a new program will start, All Romance Ebooks, a new sponsor for PIVTR. They will be on Monday nights from 9:30 to 10:30, What's Hot in Romance. So please check in. Then on June 28th, Jeff Senior and the CTS Band from 9 to 10 p.m., Saturday night. And then on July 4th, from 5 to 5:30, Tom Zart, Patriotic Poetry Show, and 7 to 8, Jeff Senior and the CTS Band. And all 4th of July, we will be playing back-to-back programs of the Veterans Program and Forum with E. Everett McFall. Thank you very much for listening, and remember, keep listening.